Okay, we're in Parak Tes and Hilchos Shabbos. We left off with Halacha Yud. And as you will notice, we'll be going in order. There's an order to the Malachas. This is the order of making garments. So after we finish Gozes, to now in Halacha Yud, the Rambam starts off with Melabein, which literally means to whiten or to bleach. So that's what they would do to the wool prior to as we'll get to putting it on the loom. So Malabin is a semer or a pishtan or a shani, v'chein chol kli yotze behem, mimosh darcho l'hislabin chayev. So anytime you whiten any garment, it is considered to be Malabin, and therefore you are over the iser. The kamish yuro k'dei l'tabos yimeno, and what is the shear for Malabin? It's enough. L'tabos yimeno chut echad orcho k'milo rocho v'hasit kafel shu orech. So the amount that you're chayav for in Malabain is the amount, just to make it simple, is to thread, or to make a thread, one thread, whose width is the size of Arba Tvachim. If you recall, we saw the seat before, so rather than deal with that measurement, Rama makes it easier and says it's about what they call four Tvachim long. Okay, now Malabain isn't that common, but Halach Yud Aleph is more of a question, which is HaMechabes Begadim. Harehu toledes melabein v'chayev. So laundering clothes is considered a tolda of melabein, and you're chayev for that as well. So again, since that's not technically whitening, which in this sense is a preparatory step in sewing and getting the cloth to be the strings to be sewed. Here, laundering, which is cleaning the clothing, that's a tolda of melabein. And again, what's critical about this is this always comes up by, for instance, the 9 days. What exactly is mechabes today? Mechabes then was the act of actually putting the clothing inside the river and washing it. Today, we put our stuff into a machine and press a button. So it's unclear what exactly mechabes is today, but we consider that to be mechabes. Yes, so that's usher. Soket es habeged. Now it's important to pay attention to the language here, because if you recall, schita is a specific iser that applies to squeezing out juice, let's say from a fruit. Okay, extracting the inside, the juice part. Now the same lashon used here. Soket es habeged. Ach yotzi amayim shabo harezim mechabes v'chayev. So it's always a funny thing. People, there's always the question of if you take a shower, so using a towel because it's a concern of schita, but people don't realize that the concern of schita there is not the same concern. It's not the schita of extracting juice from a fruit. It's schita of mechabes, because if you squeeze out the water, it's considered like you're laundering the clothes and you be chayv. Shas schita, also, there's another important point. This is the one other malacha, or one of the few malachas that has this idea. If you recall, there were certain things by Bishul that themselves you would argue aren't actually cooking, but they are necessary for cooking, for instance, stirring the food. So to hear schita, squeezing out the water from the garment, is considered necessary as part of the laundering process. Vein schita b'sear, that's also an important point. There is no such idea of schita by hair. Okay, it doesn't exist. So if a person squeezed out or were wringing out their hair, there's no issue there at all. Huadin la'or, and same too with leather. Shein chayovin al schitasa. So schita is limited to clothing, but it doesn't apply to hair. So if a person squeezed out their hair, that would not be considered, again, I'm going to use the language here, mechabes. It would not be considered that issue. Okay, after kibus is done, now comes menafetz. Menafetz, I mean, literally translated means beating, but what you're doing is you're spreading out the threads, which is a preparatory step before you put it before it's actually going to be dyed. So we'll use the term beating. Hamenafes is a semer or a pishtan or a shani chiyotzuben chayev. So what a person does is they take the wool and they in a sense they pat it down a lot to start getting the threads ready. You be chayev for that. The kamish yiro kli latavas men echudechad archa arbar tvachim. Notice how the Rambam ditches the our favorite measurement. It just goes right to a string that's four tefachim long. The Menafetz is a gidim achiyasu ketzemer kli lethavos osan. Hareze told us Menafetz v'chayev. So if a person went ahead and this is again, he has to show a tolda here. If a person beat the sinews, okay, of an animal until they are now going to be able to become like tzemer, in order to sew from them, that would also be considered menafetz. So again, the garment, the raw material itself is not normally used for sewing, for making a garment. But if a person did such a thing, he would be over the iser of menafetz. Okay, halach yud gimel hatzoveya. Now we're dyeing the garment. Okay, if a person hatzoveya chutz arkar bar tefachim o davar sheefshar letavos mena chut kazeh chayiv. So as long as you dye, and we'll get to what dyeing is in a second. Let me just finish halach around. When a person dyes a thread that's arba tefachim long, or something that he will go ahead and make a thread out of, you're chayiv. Venek soveya chayiv achi etzeva miskayim. That's a very important point also. You're only chayiv in soveya when a person uses a permanent ink. So the color that you're adding to the garments or the future threads must be something that's permanent. Avat seva she'eno miskayim klal. Okay, but a color that is not permanent. Kagon shehavir sarak o shesar al gabe barzon lechoshes vitzavao pater. So whatever these things are, these are what it called different types of materials that you use on metal. But you colored it, right? That'd be pater. All right. So, again, today it's a little trickier, but in general, obviously, painting something would be considered be tzoveya. But if something was put on, if a color was added to something else, or you're making a color that you know will not last, you'd be pater. Sharia ata ma'aviro l'shaso v'eino tzoveya klum. So you're only putting on temporarily, and you don't mean it, and that's not considered to be tzoveya. V'chol she'ein melachto miskayem es b'shabes pater. And that's the key. So if the malacha itself will not have a permanent expression on Shabbos itself, you're pater. Again, pater aval aser, meaning it's an iser derabanan. Go ahead, Ron. Now, beforehand in Halacha Yud Gimel, we're talking about dyeing something. Now, the tolda, which is an interesting tolda of tzoveya, is making the color. So ha'os, in Halacha Yud Dalet, he says, ha'osa in hatseva, hareza tolda tzoveya v'chayev. So if you go ahead and make the color, okay, let's say a person is making paint, that would be a told of tzoveya. Ketzach, kagon shenasan kalkantus ketoch me atzak shenasa kol shachor, shenasan istis etoch me karkus karkum shenasa kol yarak. The thing called yotze bezeh. So here he's literally talking about making almost like paints or dyes, where you mix these two things together and you produce, for instance, green. That would be usher to do. The kamish yuro kedele tzvah bo chutz archor bar tefachim. And what's the isser? The isser is enough to make a string that'd be arba tefachim long. So creating colors on Shabbos is a problem. That is usher to do. Okay. Okay. So now we're gonna get into the loom. Okay. And just to get a little background, there's just to get our terminology down. Okay. As we get into, unless someone here is actually familiar with this, but a loom has if you ever picture it. Almost looks like a harp. But anyway, it's like, imagine like a square, and inside the square you have these vertical, sticks, I guess, or vertical sticks that go up and down, and then horizontal ones going left to right, okay? And then the thread, okay, is going to be put inside, and the thread also is vertical and horizontal. The terminology that we have to know is there's something called a heddle. Okay, so the heddles are the actual wires that you string up vertically and horizontally. There's what's called the warp and the woof, okay, which refers to the vertical and the horizontal placing of the threads on the loom. So keep in mind, the heddles are inside the loom itself, meaning they're the things that are going up and down, and they're going vertically and horizontally to stabilize the loom, right, which is what you're going to work your threads through. And then you have the woof and the warp, which are the vertical and horizontal strings, okay? Just keep in mind that terminology as we get through this. This is a little tricky, just to picture it, but Halacha Tesvav, the Rambam says, Hatove orech arba tefachim kol davar nitva chayiv. So when you spin thread that is four tefachim long, from anything that you can thread, you're chayiv, okay? So that's the minimum shear. Echad hatove es hatzemer, o es hapishtan, o es hanotza, o es haseyar, o es hagidin, v'chein kol yotze behen. So it doesn't matter what the person's spinning. Whatever he's spinning in these cases, in every one of these, he would be chayev. Ha'osas ha'levad are ezeh toldas tova v'chayev. Now it's interesting. So that levad is actually felt. That's not. It seems like that's not a normal thing to spin. But if a person did that, it'd be a tolda of a tova. V'hu sheyilvad davar she'efshar l'tavos imenu orach arba tvachim be'ove benoni. So that only works if a person is actually spinning it. That in spinning it, he'd be able to spin enough of the that'll be four tvachim, right? Of intermediate, what do you call it? Intermediate arba tvachim. So that's the amount for felt, which he expands to any other material that you wouldn't normally spin. Okay, and now in Halacha Tezayin, he moves into the structure itself, which is also very interesting. Ha'oseh shnei batei nirin chayev. So a person who makes the heddles, which are again the vertical and horizontal thingamajigs, wires that go into the loom, is chayev. Okay, and on that same note, ha'oseh nafa or kaver or sal or safcha shesarag mita b'chavalim harizet told us osa nirin. Okay, now, so if a person went ahead and let's say made a sieve or a strainer or a basket, okay, because if you think about it, how are those made? Those have the same exact type of construction. Like let's say a basket's going to have, it's going to have the vertical and horizontal part. So in any of these all are considered a tolda of osa batinirin. All right, so again, if a person made a sieve, like if you look at a sieve, it has the exact design of what a loom would look like, because in the sieve itself you have horizontal and vertical, things. So the same thing applies by the loom. So in those cases, if a person went ahead and constructed a sieve, he wouldn't be over bona, right, or makev patish, he'd be over osa nirin. Right, and when a person makes the horizontal and vertical. Any singular horizontal and vertical construction automatically makes you chayev. And the same thing, if a person makes two of these batim, again, meaning the vertical and horizontal, of anything you make these batim out of, you be chayev. So it's very interesting to note that when it comes to this specific style of making something, it expands beyond simply the loom. Anything that mimics that has that same style of a horizontal and vertical construction will be considered underneath this category of malacha. Okay, now in Halacha Yitzayin, okay, he says derech ha'organ. Now, so he gives us a little almost like a little background into how weavers work. Okay, so what do the weavers do? So derech ha'organ shemoschen hachutin chila beorech hayiria or v'chava ushnaim ochzen zemikan v'zemikan. Okay, so what happens? So what they do is they stretch the threads of the warp out. Okay. Considerably, okay, to what they want the length and width of the garment to be. So they pre-measure, right, and they actually stretch it out how much they want to go ahead and sew, okay. Ushnaim ochzen zemikan v'zemikan. And two people, what they do is they hold the two ends of where the thread is going to go ahead and be placed. Vechat shovet b'shevet alachutin u'misakin usan zebetzad zeh. So what does a person do? So a person, he basically beats the threads with like a stick, okay, and fixes it, right? So they all lie flat against each other, okay? And again, now we're only dealing with the vertical part. So shesibolo erev is going to be considered the warp, right, without the woof part. Right? And now, when you the person, what the weavers do when they extend the actual threads, okay, he hanasachas ha misacha. Okay, v'zeh ha mosach nikra mesach. Okay, so this which is going to be a malacha. So now, once the vertical is set in place, what's the next step to do? So now you go ahead and you have the vertical part established. Okay, it's ready to go. It's firm in place. Okay, and that's going to be mesach. U'kashakofanosa maska lahachnes ha erev b'shasi nikra orek. So mesach is, to make it simple, mesach is actually the stiffening and final step in having the thread set up in the warp side, in the warp orientation. And then what happens is now you're going to work the horizontal part, the woof part, right, through the actual vertical threads. That's considered the orig. So again, mesach is, which is a malacha, mesach is the vertical orientation part. Oreg is now running the horizontal threads through the vertical ones. Okay, so that being the case, now the Rambam explains Hamesech Chayev. Okay? So a person who mounts the warp, meaning he's taking the vertical threads and mounting them and fixing them into the loom, you're chayav. V'hi melacham avos melachos. And that is one of the melachos. Okay? V'ashovet alachutin achi yifarku v'itaknim. Harezeh told us, mesach. So the person who goes ahead and beats the threads until the point that they separate and now are aligned perfectly in the loom, that's considered a tolda of mesach. V'kama shiro, mishi yisakin rochav shtei etzbaos. So how much, what's the shear? The shear is to be able to fix the width of two fingers, okay? V'chena oreg shnechutin. Now, again, oreg meaning the horizontal weaving through the vertical. Ha'oreg shnechutin berochav shtei etzbaos chayev. So shtei etzbaos is the shear, and it's two threads, okay? So you have one going down, two going through. That's when you're chayev. Bein sha'argam betchila, bein sha'hayam mixas abeged arug, v'arug al ha'arug, shiur shnechutin. It doesn't matter if he started it, or if there are actually, it's already, let's say, halfway sewn, and now he adds two more strings. Either way, you're chayev in oreg. Vim arug chut echad, v'hishlim bo ha'beged chayev. That's also interesting. Let's say the garment is 99.9% done. It needs one thread left, okay? And what you do is, you weave through horizontally that last thread, you're chayev, because you're completing the beged. Arug bis, but not makev patish. Arug bisfasa yayura shnechutin beruchav shloshe batinirin chayev. So if a person went ahead and wove at the end of the opening of the garment, okay, two threads, okay, beruchav shloshe batinirin, that is the width of three of the frames, he's chayev. So that's like considered making like a sewing together a small belt that is the width of three of the batinirin, again of those heddles, which is the horizontal and vertical wires that you put inside the loom itself. Okay, but basically what's important to take away from this is the Rambam showing you how mesech and oreg work. Mesech again being the vertical, and oreg being sewing through from the horizontal. Okay, halacha yotes. So hamedaktek esachutin umafridan be'es ariga. Hareza told us oreg. So what does that mean? It means that let's say a person who's straightening the actual threads themselves, and as they're in the loom, he's straightening them out, right, and then separating them while he's sewing. That's considered tolda of oreg. V'chena kolea esanimin. Hareza told us oreg. So someone who, and this is actually a practical halacha, not that looming isn't practical, but I don't think people use a loom today. If a person's koleas and neman, so that's braiding hair, okay? If a person braids hair, that's a tolda of oreg. Think about how, I mean, I don't know that much about braiding, but I've seen my daughters do it. If you see how braiding works, it's, again, it's very similar in the sense that you're weaving together around and around hair. That's considered a tolda of oreg. V'shiru mishyasa kliyab oreg shtei etzbaos. So it's enough to make a braid that is two etzbaos long. So braiding hair is usher to do on Shabbos. Okay, halacha chaf, okay, botzea. Now what's botzea? Botzea is going to be separating out, okay, so this is the opposite of oreg, okay, so it's not destructive, as you'll see in a second, it's not mekakel, but the opposite of oreg is botzea. So botzea is where you're mafrid, you're separating out, you're taking apart that which you sew together. So botzeah shnei chutin chayev. So once you take apart two chutin, you're chayev. Ubotzeah hu amafrei es ha'arug. So that's what botzeah is. It's a person who separates out that which is sewn. Bein shehotzi ha'erev min hashasi, o shehavir hashasi me'al ha'erev, harezeh botzeah b'chayev. So it doesn't matter what you separate. If it's the woof from the warp or the warp from the woof, either way, you're chayev. Who? This is the important part, as I mentioned a second ago. Shelo yehei mekalkel. Okay, as long as he's not doing it for destructive purposes. In other words, intuitively you would think that when a person's botzea, he's taking apart the garment. If you're taking apart the garment, that's a destructive action, and we know you're not liable on Shabbos for any mekalka. But here, eli yiskavein l'sakin k'derech she'osin elu, right? Shema'achin es ha'begadim ha'kalim b'yoseh she'botzen v'akrach ma'achin v'chozin v'organ chutin she'batzo ad she'yasu shnei ha'begadim o shnei ha'kraim k'echa. So basically what he's saying is that there's a system that that people who sew sometimes use, which is where there's a benefit when you separate out the threads, okay? You're doing that to help mend the garments. Let's say there's a tear in the shirt. So what you'll do is you'll go up above the tear, okay, and then undo some of the threads, right, in order to go ahead and fix it. So, and that's a common theme, by the way, In all cases of getting out of mikalkel, for instance, like mechika, which we'll get to, if a person erases for the purpose of writing, right? This is, and even by korea al menas lasakin, this is the same thing applies here by sewing. If a person undoes the thread, but he's doing it for the purpose of going ahead and fixing it, then it would be considered a problem. That's of botzea. That sozer as a klia lasakin, hareze told us botzea, vishira kashira botzea. So what's that? So if a person undoes the braid, okay? Now, again, if you made a braid, and now you undo it for the purpose of making it better, or improving it, let's say the braid came half apart, so you go above the braid a few hairs to go ahead and fix it, that would be considered botzea as well. Okay, so that ends our brief foray into sewing. Okay, we'll start a few halachas in kosher now. So kosher does take up a bunch of parak yud, again, tying knots is not something that that is that common of an issue, because there was a certain expertise that existed in the times. I mean, still exists today, but I'm saying there was a big distinction between what are considered professional knots and layman knots. And today, I don't know anyone who knows how to make professional knots, but everyone knows how to make unprofessional knots. Or standard knots. And that's going to be important because, as you'll see, there are three categories that exist of kosher, and it's important to recognize which one you're chayiv in, which one you're pater from, and which one you're outright allowed to do. Okay, and I think everyone today is familiar with the fact that making a bow, which we'll get to, is not a problem, and then you get the whole issue of what a double knot is, whether that's considered a knot or not. So the halacha aleph, the Rambam says, a kosher kesher shel kayama. Okay, and that's the halachic terminology for a permanent knot. So a person who ties a permanent knot, v'hu maisa uman chayev. And it's only if it's an expert or professional knot. So when a person ties a knot, and it's done, again, a permanent knot, in a way that that's considered a professional knot, that you're chayev for. Kigon kesher gamalin, v'kesher safanin, v'kishir v'tzuas, Minal v'sandal shakoshin haritzon, v'shas asiyason v'chein kol yotzubazes. So you basically have two categories. You have these types of knots that were used, for instance, by sailors, as an example, or you have the knots that were used to make shoes themselves, not to tie shoes, but to make shoes. So whatever, the point is that all the knots that these professionals would use, these are all kesher shel kayama, they're made permanently, and they're done by experts. That's category one. Aval kosher kesher shel kayama, the eno maisa uman pater. Okay, the second category is if I make a permanent knot, right? But it's a layman's knot, meaning it's not one of these professional types of knots, which I think today would be considered like a double knot. That's your pater avalasar. So it's an isur derabana. The kesher she'eno shel kayama, the eno maisa uman mutar lekasher lechatchila. And that's going to be the important one. That if a person goes ahead and makes a non-permanent knot, meaning a knot that is made to come apart, okay, like a bow. And it's not considered maisa uman, okay? Mutter lekasher lechatchila. Okay, so again, so with kosher, there are three categories. There is kesher shel kayama maisa uman. Then there's simply kesher shel kayama that's not maisa uman, and that's patar aval aser. And then you have kesher she'eno shel kayama ve'eno maisa uman. All right, let's stop here because we're going to get really into the.